Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, online fitness coach, nutritionist, and 3 times best-selling author, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is with health and wellness coach, Georgie Crawford. Definitely one of the most inspirational podcasts I've had the pleasure of recording. It's never happened in nearly 400 episodes, but I actually had tears in my eyes towards the end of this one. One of the most incredible people. I've been following Georgie for ages on social media. I listen to her podcast, Good Glow. I know a lot of you are subscribers on there as well. And I'm so happy and grateful we got to have this conversation today where we talk about her backstory, about coming through breast cancer, dealing with her husband's MS, her daughter Pia, being there for her family, and how she's been able to bring the 5 pillars of self-care to her own life. Such an inspirational podcast with so many things here that's going to benefit you and uplift you. And I think if you are struggling and there's a part or an area in your life or something that you are just finding it difficult to get through and move through at the minute, this is the podcast for you. So without further ado, here is health and wellness coach Georgie Crawford on building self-worth, how to stop comparing yourself to others, and the power of changing your story. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Georgie Crawford. Georgie is a health coach and wellness speaker, podcast host of the incredible show, The Good Glow, and creator of the Good Glow Wellness Course and the Good Glow Rise and Thrive Course, which she created alongside 2 podcast favorites, Jerry and Miriam Hussey. Her event, The Good Glow Live, is returning to the National Concert Hall on May 30th. Tickets are available on nch.ie, and we'll talk more about this later in the show. For now, I'm looking forward to talking all things self-care, creating healthy habits, and motivating yourself to implement change in today's podcast. Georgie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely thrilled to be a guest on a podcast as opposed to hosting a podcast.
Georgie, I'm so excited for this conversation. As I said, I've been following your content for ages. I think it's so inspiring. I said this to you just before we went on air. And at this point, I would normally do kind of a longer introduction for somebody. But as I said, I've been following your work for a while, and we will bounce around on a few different topics today. But I want to dive back and let you tell your story about what happened after giving birth to your daughter, Pia, at the age of 32. Take us back to that time period and talk to us about your story a little bit.
Okay. So it feels like a lifetime ago. It was 2017. Before I got pregnant, I worked in Spin 103.8, which is a Dublin radio station. And I also worked across its sister station in Limerick, Spin Southwest. So, you know, I just had such a normal life, but I was young and ambitious and I worked really hard, and I would have breakfast at my desk and lunch at my desk. And I really was pushing myself every day because I really wanted to be successful and have a great career. And then I got married and I really wanted to have a baby. And of course I worried, you know, what would this bring to my life? And I'll have to go away from the office for so long and go on maternity leave and all that. But I've always loved kids and I felt really lucky to get pregnant without, you know, any issues. And myself and Jamie had just bought our first home at the foot of the Dublin Mountains. So we had Pia and we spent the summer doing up the house. And do you know what? It wasn't the maternity leave I thought it was going to be. I thought I'd be like going for really long walks and baking and painting the house and doing all of these things you see in the movie, when in reality, you're like hanging together. You know, you're so tired. Like, I was breastfeeding Pia. I was so exhausted. So there was a lot of change that summer. But, you know, we had a great summer in the house and we've really supportive family. So it was a beautiful time. And then when Pia was 7 months old, I was getting ready to go back to work in radio. And we decided to get Pia christened on the Sunday before I went back. So we're at the christening and I remember like looking around the room that day and seeing our 2 families and just thinking, God, I'm so lucky. You know, this is my happy ever after. But then on the Wednesday night, I found a lump in my breast. And 5 days after that, I was told I had breast cancer. So within the space of 5 days, my world fell apart in ways that I just It never even crossed my mind that that would happen to me in, you know, when I was 32 and in the prime of my life. So everything came tumbling down. And that was the start of, I suppose, what would you say? This is a new beginning for me.
One of the things I heard you speak about on an episode, a podcast with Sheila Shoya, was that you thought you'd never be happy again, or you thought you'd never be able to feel that joy again, that everything had changed. And you started to document as you were going through it. And this is when I talk about inspiration, because, you know, as somebody who has been very fortunate with health, with myself and loved ones, and I do a lot of physical challenges and things like that, but I get so much inspiration from hearing stories like this. Like, this is the kind of thing that completely lights me up. Talk about how you, I won't say handled it or managed it, because that's probably a poor choice of words, but talk about how you documented it as you were going through, and talk about kind of where the good glow came from.
Wow, that's such a lovely question. And thank you so much for your sensitivity. I suppose when I was told I had cancer, I was so shocked, like I said, and I didn't know where to turn, really. I didn't know who to tell. Like, obviously, Jamie's family knew, my family knew, and my close friends. And I really wanted to get a clear picture of what was ahead of me before I started to tell kind of people who I worked with or my wider circle of friends. So I remember Jamie saying, let's just see if the cancer has spread and then we can go from there. So then I found out that the cancer hadn't spread a week after I was diagnosed. And that was brilliant, because I felt like, okay, like maybe I'm not going to die, you know, because at that stage, I really thought like that was it for me. So when I found out that my cancer hadn't spread, and I knew that word had probably started to get out that I had cancer, and when I say get out, I mean just, you know, amongst my friends, and they weren't hearing it from me, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I wrote an Instagram post, and I didn't even know how to post like Instagram stories back then. I was really private person. Although I was on the radio, I loved the fact that it was just my voice. So I said, maybe I should just put out an Instagram. Now, this is about 7 weeks later. Maybe I should put out an Instagram post, because there's so many people walking around with, you know, symptoms or signs of breast cancer, and it would never even dawn on them to check their breasts. So I found my lump by accident, and there was no breast cancer in my family. I was under 50. Like, I just didn't think breast cancer could happen to young women. So I said, you know, because my cancer hasn't spread, I feel like I have the energy to kind of face this. So I put out a little Instagram post just to say to my friends, you know, I have cancer. I'm okay. I'm hopefully going to be okay, but please check your breasts. And since that day, I've never looked back. And it wasn't like it was a decision to tell my story, but it just turned into that. And I didn't expect to connect with so many people through that post and what had happened in the weeks after, but it just did.
I'm very curious, as someone who observed it from the outside, and there's no way, I think, for anyone else to know, did it help you putting it out there? Because there's a lot of, I won't say pressure, again, probably poor choice of words, but you're working through this yourself, your family, Jamie, everything. Did you find that putting it out there helped you? Was that something that kind of kept you uplifted, or was it something that was just, I have to do this, it's bigger than me, I need to spread this message and bring awareness? Where did you fall with your thinking during the time?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think people either want the world to know or don't want the world to know, you know, and I've had so many friends that I've made since that have been diagnosed with cancer, and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to put it out there. They just want to deal with it in private. I think I felt like I had a sort of public job, in terms of I used to go on like Expose and do the entertainment news, and I felt like I had access to a platform to warn women to check their breasts. And it's almost like in that time of absolute crisis that it gave me purpose. So I was like, if I could just, if just one person, you know, checked their breasts and found a lump and got to live for their kids, I was like, how could I not? How could I not use my friends in radio to tell my story? So Susan Keogh, you probably know her. She used to be on News Talk. She was covering for Matt Cooper on Today FM. And she said, will you come in and tell your story? So having purpose in the middle of that crisis for me really helped me get up and face every single day. And it was like I had this army of support behind me. So when I'd go in to the Beacon to get my chemotherapy, like I felt like I wasn't walking in there alone. I had my amazing husband and my family, but I also had all of these women who I felt like understood me. And that was such a gift.
From that time, Georgie, because I can only imagine that going into that versus who you are coming out of it versus who you are today on the other side, that your entire world, as you said, happy ever after at 32 to 5 days and feeling like the ground had been taken from underneath you. Is there anything majorly that you've changed your mind about in recent years? Something that's completely shifted in priorities or just a new way of thinking that you have now that you didn't have prior?
It's like I've had a brain transplant. Every part of my life and my thinking is different to what it was before. Like I said, and I speak about this in my corporate talks, when I go out to speak to young people who are starting out in their career, and like me, they're eating breakfast and lunch at their dinner, and I would come home from work and I'd feel so tired. I had nothing left in the tank for me. No time for exercise. No time, you know, to fill me back up before I went and faced the world again. So I was like depleted day after day, month after month, year after year. And it, you know, that first week of working myself to the bone turned into 10 years. So now my life is completely different. But in terms of my priorities, I prioritize myself. And I think we're all maybe getting a little bit better at that. I think there's more awareness about it. But I make no apologies for doing me, you know, and giving myself what I need and sitting with myself and thinking, okay, what do I need today? And that could be different from yesterday and different tomorrow. But I think do you know what it is? It's a trusting of my gut. And my gut had told me in the weeks leading up to my cancer that I wasn't well. So I kept looking in the mirror and saying I didn't recognize myself anymore. And as soon as I was diagnosed with cancer, I said, I will never, ever ignore that voice in the back of my head ever again on anything. So since then, I suppose I've connected with my intuition and it's guided me to this place in my life, which is, you know, thankfully, you know, touch wood, 4 years cancer free.
You've given me a very unintentional segue into something I want to talk about. You recently completed the New York City Half Marathon and you did an Instagram post. And I remember seeing this back in, I think it was October when you announced it first that I'm going to do a half marathon. And it was a reel where you were talking about the inner dialogue, the voice in your head, the you can't do it. Don't embarrass yourself. You're not strong enough. Talk to us about the importance of changing that inner chatter.
I promised myself in 2022 that this would be the year that I did that. So, you know, I have a wellness brand. I talk about self-care all the time. It's really important for me to like walk the walk. And I am not perfect. I am most definitely on the journey. And my journey started with hydration 4 years ago. And in, you know, in 2022, it's about, you know, changing the narrative in my head. So I had like you know, a couple of rough years with COVID, like we all did, you know, a little bit too much time to sit with myself, you know, those thoughts coming in, you know, you're not good enough, you know, this is all going to end soon. You know, who do you think you are? You know, all of these things that we think on a daily basis. And I promised myself in October, no, I'm not living like this anymore. 2022 is going to be dedicated to changing that voice. Now, I still had that voice when I was running around Central Park last week. Who do you think you are? Your time is embarrassing. You know, what if someone looks up on the internet that it took you over 2 hours to do it? All of these things kept coming into my mind. But I try now to understand that those voices are not the truth. And that's, I think, what I've learned over the last while is I don't believe everything that I say to myself anymore. And I'm just becoming more aware of that.
And I wasn't aware of this. I think I'd heard you say it a couple of times on the Good Glow podcast, but you're a great interviewer. So you generally let your guests speak. So we don't hear as much about your story. And you weren't into fitness at all prior to being sick. So I think completing a half marathon is just, it's incredible. And you did a recent post on We Can Do Hard Things. Talk to us about that, because there's a lot of people listening who will have that inner dialogue. I can't do it. It's embarrassing. The self-talk, it's so crazy because your self-talk, my self-talk, it's very similar. We just have slightly different languages to the way we use it, but we all have it. Talk about, I won't say the importance of doing hard things. I'm a believer in, you know, you choose your suffering. As someone who's long history with mental health, anxiety, depression, choose your suffering. Talk about the importance of doing hard things and how we can do hard things if we get that voice right.
Yeah. I think for me, and Jerry Hussey speaks about this all the time, and he speaks about it in his book, and I literally have never related to something more than when I read the words in Jerry's book of, we tell ourselves we're a certain type of person. And I'd been speaking about that in my corporate talks for years. So to read it back from Jerry Hussey, I was like, yes, that's exactly it. So my whole life, listen, I worked in media. I love going out, having a few drinks. Like, I was like the last one standing at parties. I loved going out. Like, that was who I was, in inverted commas. So, you know, when the guys in work would come around and go, oh, we're going to do a little five-a-side team, I just couldn't sign up to that. I'd be absolutely mortified because I wasn't that type of person. So for my whole life, I told myself all of these stories about myself. You know, you hate PE. Like, that's when it started. You know, you would much rather go for a drink after work on a Thursday than go down with the rest of them to the five-a-side, because I was too embarrassed to start. And I suppose I didn't know that you could change your mind about who you were. I thought people would laugh at me, which is ridiculous. Nobody did. So taking myself, I suppose, out of this fictional box that I'd put myself in for 32 years and to be vulnerable enough to say to people around me, especially Jamie, you know, I want to do this and I need you to support me. I want to do a couch to 5K and I need you to encourage me to get out the door, because I will be the first person to flake out on myself. I will be the first person to say, oh, do you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. Or, oh, Pia wants me to stay in with her. You know, she's pulling at my leg. Oh, it's fine. I'll do it again. So I needed him to kind of be my accountability partner, which he was. So I think to give yourself permission. And when I went, we did a run in the Swiss Alps in 2020. And that was a trail run, 12K. It was fine. Like, it was huge for me to do something like that, because it combined these two things that I'd always told myself my whole life that I hated, which is being outside in the cold and exercising. And as I was on my way up the mountain that day, I kept repeating to myself, you have a right to change your mind about who you are. It's as simple as that. So, you know, the difficult part is actually putting on the runners and getting out the door. But I think I promised myself, you know, in the middle of chemo and I had no hair when I was hanging out in my dressing gown all day, I promised myself that I'd get to know who I really was, because I wanted to live and I wanted to thrive and I really wanted to take life, you know, by the scruff of the neck and live it. So, you know, stripping all of these things that we tell ourselves away and actually sitting with yourself and going, actually, who am I and who do I want to be? And it's okay. It's okay to say that I want to change my mind. So that's kind of what I did. But I still, you know, I look at your Instagram and I'm like, oh God, why is he asking me to go on his podcast? He's so fit and loves exercise and things. And it's still a struggle for me, definitely. But it brings so much to my life that I never even imagined.
And it's so funny because without us having a conversation, I've been following you from afar for ages. And I've already spoke about the inspiration I get from you coming through and telling your story and coming out. Like, to me, coming off the back of cancer and being able to run a half marathon is just mind blowing to me, like mind blowing. I'm listening to your story going, that is incredible. And that's how it approaches. So it's so funny that our own enemies nearly between our two ears when it comes to, you know, the inner dialogue that's going along. I'm curious just to piggyback on what you said there. Why do you think so much of us struggle with that? Either sitting with ourselves and asking, who do I want to become, or what is it that I truly want? Or, you know, the language, I know Miriam and Jerry have said this, authentic self, true self. From your experience, Georgie, because you've helped so many people with the podcast and courses and the corporate talks. Well, from your experience, why do you think we struggle so much with that?
You know, it's probably our ego, and our ego wants us to stay the same and to do the same things. And for many, many years, you know, I was revolving instead of evolving. And I thought, one day I'm going to get the promotion. You know, one day it's all going to happen for me. Someone's going to come knocking on my door and I'm going to get that dream job. And then I think I realized when everything fell apart that I needed to make it happen for myself. And that was so scary for me, because for years I told myself, you know, well, who would want you? You know, you did the wrong course in college. Sure, you're just sitting here in spin and, you know, no one from 98 is going to come down and offer you a job. And certainly not News Talk and Today FM, because they're national stations. So I kept, you know, all day when I'd be sitting at my desk, I'd be telling myself really mean things about myself. You're an idiot. You didn't, you know, study hard enough. You should have done a better leaving cert and went and become a nurse or something. Like, I'm just going to be left here and forever, you know? And then when I got sick, I realized that, oh, I really have to do this myself, and I'm going to have to figure out what I actually really want to do. But I actually, and that's overwhelming in itself, because I think a lot of people would be like, oh God, I don't know where to start. Okay. Don't know where to start. I started by investing in myself, and then my outer world changed. So I still didn't know about the good glow. I didn't know that was coming into my life. I didn't know I was going to start my own business down the line. I started within, and then all of that happened as a result of the hard work I was doing on myself. So when I go into, say, for example, like these big firms like Grant Thornton or KPMG, and I'm looking at all of these young, amazing people who just want to climb the ladder and be really successful, I'm like, don't sit at your desk and waste away. Get up and do something for yourself, because when you give back to yourself, then you're coming in the next day and putting out a different energy. And I just wished I had done that in those 10 years when I was in that cycle of exhaustion and working overtime and eating at my desk. I wish I had kept some energy for myself in order to learn and grow. And Brian Penny said it to me last week, actually. He said, slow down to speed up. So, you know, what can you do to slow down in order to thrive? And it makes sense to me now, but never dawned on me for those 10 years.
That was a great podcast, by the way. I listened to that. He said something there about that he wasn't necessarily addicted to the heroin. At times it was addicting to release from anxiety. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, I've done that with drugs and alcohol and different things. So just as a side note for people, it's a very powerful listen, a very powerful story. With the investing in yourself, Georgie, and again, I'm going to transition nicely into your course, because I think pulling out some of the bits here is going to be so valuable for people. But when it came to you going from zero to one, investing in yourself, what were one or two of the things that helped you the most? Was it meditation, fitness, looking at your nutrition, or something completely different? What kind of got you from zero to one? Or was it courses or books or something else?
Yeah, that's really, really, I love that. I think for me, it started with water. And it's so simple. So when I was told I had cancer that week, I was helpless, right? I couldn't get rid of this lump in my breast. It was there and I had to wait for surgery. I didn't have like a crystal ball to see in the future to see if I was going to live or die. So I was like, what can I do today? Now, I couldn't meditate then because I couldn't sit with myself. You know, I was a basket case. So I just was like, okay, I'll just drink water because that's something that I can control and feel like I'm doing for myself. So it started with water. And then I just started to feel better. And as I moved through chemotherapy and I was putting the good stuff in, I realized that people started to tell me I was glowing. And that's why I called the podcast The Good Glow. You know what? I never believed in my life that actually what you put into your body mattered or counted. And it was only when I was getting my bloods done for chemo every Monday and I'd drink my 2 liters of water a day. I'd make sure I was drinking or eating loads of fruit and veg. And then I kept bouncing back for the chemo and they kept saying, oh my God, your bloods are amazing. And I was like, okay, now I believe it. But it took that for me to actually believe that what you put into your body matters. So for me, it was hydration and nutrition and then the support, like the love, you know, that helped me get here. And oh my God, I don't know. I wouldn't have survived a day of it without Jamie and my family and his family, like not one day of it.
Yeah. And I feel with his health issues, the feeling is mutual from anything I've heard him speak on as well. Again, I think it's okay to publicly say, because he's spoken about it on podcast, but MS. And I think I love that, like growing and moving through difficult times and you're clearly coming out stronger from it. Different podcast for a different day, but I love it.
Yeah, you should actually have Jamie, because Jamie went from like the corporate world of, you know, Jamie used to drive to work in the dark and drive home in the dark. And, you know, he was always eating on the go, like never a time for himself, diagnosed with MS, completely transformed his life. And there's, you know, it's inspiring, but we'll leave it there.
100. Let's talk after this podcast. So yeah. I definitely want to make that connection, if you don't mind. I want to pull out, you mentioned the nutrition there, the hydration, which makes me think of nourishment. You've got your Good Glow Wellness course and it's based around pillars of self-care. And you speak about each being as important as the next. So just for the order for people who are unfamiliar, it's mindset, habits, joy, self-worth, nourishment, and nature. And this is going to sound like a completely loaded question. And I apologize in advance because I know they're connected to one another. But if you had to pick one that has the most potential positive benefit if people dial in. And I know, and I'm putting you in such a difficult position because I know that they all connect into one another. It's like pulling out a jigsaw piece and be like, well, you took a piece of the jigsaw away. But the one that jumps to me first and foremost, and I'll give you my kind of, I won't say a opinion because obviously it's your course and you've got your own experiences. Self-worth is something I've struggled with a lot. An area of my life that I had to put a lot of value, that self-care, self-love, self-worth, things that I really struggled for so long throughout my life. So that's the one that jumps out the most at me. But from your experience, or even if you'd like to speak to that, self-worth, I think, is probably a nice little transition as from a completely selfish standpoint as someone who's struggled. Yeah. But I know a lot of people are the same. Talk to us about self-worth when it comes to wellness in general.
Yeah. So I think, you know, and I always go back to sitting in my garden when I was in chemotherapy and just really probably realizing that I loved myself for the very first time, or having time to even think about that, and really wanting to live for my baby and having compassion for myself and what I was going through. And when I'd look in the mirror, I think, God, like, how did this happen? Like, I'm 33, I was at that point. Like, how is this young face looking back at me with it's cancer, you know? When I think when we think of cancer, we always think we'd be old, you know? So I remember just thinking, you know, I was just trying my best. And of course, it wasn't my fault that I got cancer. You always try to find a way to blame yourself. But I think, you know, around that time, really realizing that I loved myself and I valued myself and I deserved to be here, that was a huge breakthrough for me. And it wasn't that I didn't love myself before, but I didn't have time for myself. And that's not being very kind to yourself, right? So like, I'd always have time for Jamie or Pia, my mom, you know, going to see people, but treating myself like shit, if I'm being really honest, and always told myself I'd survive. And people, you know, who care for a sick parent or child or partner, I think can really relate to what I say when I speak about Jamie being diagnosed with MS. So he was diagnosed with MS like before we got married. So our whole relationship really revolved around him and his health. And I just kept saying, I'll be grand, I'll survive, I'll be grand, I'll survive. And then when I, in 2017, I realized, oh my God, I'm actually not invincible. And I really thought I was. And then when I started to think about it, I said, how did I expect to survive? How did I expect to keep going? So yeah, I really wanted to include self-worth in the Good Glow Wellness program because it is absolutely in the core of wellness, I think, because you have to value and love yourself if you want to take better care of yourself.
I couldn't agree more. I think we all have kind of extreme versions of that. And I've gone everywhere from the you're useless and worthless all the way to toughen the fuck up. And they're just two sides of an extreme spectrum of not being able to deal with your own self-worth and value issues from my experience. And that's why I think it's so important for people to consider and think about that, because again, it's something that I can't speak for everybody else. I've struggled with it. Clearly something you struggle with and others do as well. Did you find that when it came to loving yourself, when you removed the comparison from others, that helped? I feel like I heard it in one of the podcasts when you were speaking about comparison and stopping comparing yourself to other people. Did you find that that helped your mindset and helped your ability to love yourself? Or was that something that you decided, I'm not doing this comparison syndrome anymore. I'm going to remove this, because I've heard you speak on it a few times. Where are you at with that now?
That's interesting, because basically, I suppose you would say that I'm doing the work right this year. So I'm exploring, you know, other people like Gabby Bernstein, Jerry Hussey, like I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to take it all in. And I was speaking to a podcast guest, actually, she's coming up on my podcast this week, Nicolene, this week. And I was sitting in my garden and she goes, you know, it's really important for me over the last few years to kind of figure out who I am and what I want. She goes, but it was also really important for me to figure out who I'm not and who I don't want to be. And I was like, oh, whoa. You know, it seems so obvious, but I've never actually really thought about that. And when we compare ourselves to other people, right, I might look at Jerry Hussey and go, oh, sure, he's the king of it in Ireland. You know, he has it all. You know, I wish I could be like Jerry. I wish I could get up every day and just be like Jerry. But, you know, Jerry has his own problems and he speaks about them pretty openly. We did a call a couple of weeks ago and he said he was anxious about something. I nearly fell off my chair. Couldn't believe it. I said, Jerry, like, I can't even imagine you being anxious. So we all have our problems. So I think to figure out, actually, you know, we might look at someone like, you know, who's got like all these followers and amazing business and looks like they have it all. But actually, when I sit down and I think about it, like I really like my small house. Do you know what I mean? I really just like my life. And instead of kind of looking over the fence all the time, if we can take it back to what we have and, you know, going back to that room that I was in Beaumont Hospital when Professor Hill told me I had cancer, like I wasn't thinking about anyone else. I was just thinking about what I had. And like all I cared about was the people that I loved, not the things that I had. So another great way, I think, to look at it is Gabby Bernstein when she speaks about manifesting. And, you know, people could feel like, I want to manifest this great life for myself and because I want to have loads of money and go on holidays and do all the lovely things. Okay, but why do you want that? What is the feeling you're trying to cultivate there? Oh, well, you know, I just want to be present with my family and I don't want to be thinking about work all the time and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, you can actually do that every day. You don't need the mansion, the houses, the this and the that to cultivate the feeling that actually is all that you want. So I remember I did her manifesting challenge at the start of the year and I was like, what do I really want? Okay, I want inner peace. That's all I want. I don't want, you know, to make loads of money and have a really successful business. I just want to like, I want to break with myself. I want to just be happy in my own skin. I want to be present for my child. So when she was talking about, you know, manifesting inner peace, how do you do that? So you cultivate peace. So you bring a little bit of peace to your everyday. So what could that be? That could be, you know, turning off my phone at 7 o'clock in the evening or doing a little meditation first thing in the morning. And then you're actually bringing the inner peace to your life. So, yeah, it's the comparison thing. I mean, it's in our faces all the time, isn't it? We see people on Instagram like, oh, I should be doing that. Or why didn't I think of that? And, you know, that's going back to how mean we are to ourselves. But I think if we just try to focus on what we actually want, you know, I think it can help us stop comparing. I don't even know if that was a good answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer. And it reminds me, I've had Gabby Bernstein on the podcast as well. And she literally had a line on that podcast that changed my life, where she was talking about scarcity mindset with her business and don't let your, you know, 13-year-old self run your business. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm letting my 15-year-old self run my relationship when it comes to my triggers and the things that I react to. I'm like, oh my God, that's coming from somewhere else. And she brought awareness to that. And there was a pause on the podcast after she said it, because it just landed and connected with me. Wow. Very heavily. Like, so grateful for those conversations. And that's so interesting what you said about what you don't want to be. Like, I think that is such a simple question, but one that I definitely haven't asked enough in my own life. You know, it's like, well, I want to do this and I want to be this person and I want to be a, you know, great dad and great partner and all these things and values that I have. But it's probably is equally valuable to ask what you don't want to be and avoiding that. So you know what path not to go down. With that, Georgie, you've had some incredible people on your podcast. And as I said, I dip in and out of it because there's some great guests on there. I love your interview style. And for me, as someone who's been podcasting since 2016, I think it was 2018 you started. So in around the same time, and I've completely changed my mind and opinion on things based on those conversations and chats, because it shines new light on things. But when you think about something you've changed your mind about based off a podcast, is there anyone that you've had in the last 18 to 24 months? And I'm not asking to say what was your favorite or what was the best, nothing like that. But one that somebody said something similar to Gabby and me, or Gabby and I, where it flipped my thinking completely. Did you ever have or have had those moments with your podcast that somebody's made a statement or put a question to you that has had a very positive impact on your life off the back of reflecting on it?
My brain is like, I'm trying to think of like one example, because, you know, like you saying you've been podcasting since 2016, like we've had so many conversations with people. Do you know what I love about the podcast is people have different opinions about things. So I spoke to Dan Buettner. I don't know if you follow Dan. He's the founder of the Blue Zones. So through my training as a health coach, I learned that there's these like 7 pockets of the world, or maybe it's 9, and it's where people live the longest. So they went to the Discovery Channel and this guy called Dan Buettner, and they went to these regions and they studied the people. And they're like, why are all these people in these pockets of the world living on until they're over 100. And they went and they found the 9 common habits of these people. So it's like, you know, relationships, they're mostly plant-based, they have happy hour, you know, they have their red wine, all of these things. So this is the 9 habits. And Dan was talking to me about it. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting because, you know, these people don't take supplements and, you know, it's all very back to basics way of living. And then the next time I'd speak to, say, Dr. Libby Weaver, who's this women's health expert in Australia, has done TED Talks, you know, has millions and millions of views on her TED Talk and all of these books. And she believes in supplementation. So she believes in taking your vitamins. So I like that it's kind of not a one size fits all. So it's almost like you can listen to these conversations and just take what you want out of it. And I love being open to new concepts. I love listening to other people's stories and how they got to where they are. But in terms of Mel Robbins is a person, yeah, one of the world's
that's
leading.
A great podcast that yes. you did. Yeah.
So she really gave me a talking to. It's like she's a real East Coaster, like straight talking. And there's a lot of things that she said on that podcast about the things that we do tell ourselves and the mean things that we say to ourselves that really opened my eyes to that negative self-talk. But I love taking a tiny little bit from each person and just being open to new ideas.
Is there any of those ideas that you've turned into a habit that's had a positive impact recently?
Yeah. So from Dan Buettner's podcast, I have probably learned to give myself less of a hard time and bringing more balance to my life. So when I was in my recovery from cancer, I was so hard on myself. So I would I give myself a target of 5 to 7 portions of fruit and veg a day. Like, I don't count them anymore. That's how I got into eating more fruit and veg. Mm. But back then, I would count how many portions I was having. I would make sure I was drinking my 2 liters of water. I would never let a sip of red wine pass my lips on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I had to do the park run every Saturday morning. And I'd go to bed at night and I'd go through my list and say, you idiot, like you didn't do it today. You know, what's going to happen now? I'm going to get sick again. I'm not doing a good enough job. I'd go into the office. I'd never, you know, those communal like biscuits and things. I'd never take one because I didn't want anyone to see me eating biscuits. Like I was really hard on myself. Then I just started doing a few podcasts, listened to Dan Buettner being like, you know, everything's going to be okay. Just enjoy your life. You know, these people live till they're 100 and or till they're over 100. And, you know, they drink a little tiny glass of red wine with their dinner every day. And it's all about balance. And although I don't drink alcohol every day, it certainly gave me permission to just enjoy the journey a little bit more and stop giving myself such a hard time over everything. And if I miss a bit of exercise in the first week of March, well, that's grand. Like I'll do it in the second week. And that causes me way less stress. And in inevitably then I'm healthier.
I know you talk about in the 5 pillars of self-care about motivating yourself to implement change. Has your process for how you motivate yourself to implement change changed, for the lack of a better way of putting those words together? Has that process changed in recent years then off the back of, you know, being less hard on yourself?
I'm way less hard on myself, and that's definitely down to COVID as well. And I think that habits are a huge part of my life. And I started with water in 2017. Like I said, I couldn't meditate then because that was too far down the road for me. And I really wanted to transform my entire life. So I needed to take the smallest, tiniest baby steps to that overall change. So I try to pick up a new healthy habit once every 3 or 4 months. And I'd never been in the Irish Sea until 2020, or was it 2019? I can't remember, but it was very recently, because I told myself, you know, I'm not that type of person to get into the sea. And I decided one day, my whole body, you know, for a long time was calling me towards the sea. I just ignored that. I'd look at people getting into the water. Oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could do it, but I just wouldn't. That was one of my new healthy habits a couple of years ago. And again, if I had tried to do that in 2017, too huge, too big, wouldn't have been able to do it. So I tried to go through the year and pick up, you know, 3 or 4 new healthy habits and not put myself under too much pressure. So, you know, with my habits then, I don't do all of my healthy habits every day, but I have this kind of imaginary wardrobe and I open it in the morning and I'm like, okay, which do I need today? Do I definitely need to drink my 2 liters of water because I feel a bit dehydrated? Or do I need to get into the sea? Do I need to see, you know, another human and have a lovely coffee for half an hour? You know, do I need to sit on the couch with Jamie and have a glass of red wine and watch Netflix on a Friday night? So like, I love my wardrobe of healthy habits and I love that I'm like adding to them all the time, you know?
I love that. It's basically, what does your soul need that day? And using the wardrobe of healthy habits, I'm going to take that. I think I need to expand out my wardrobe with a few more things, but I've got a few that come to mind for sure. Georgie, I've only got a couple more things and I'm so grateful for this conversation, for this chat. As I said, I've been following from afar for so long. Before I get into the final question, talk to us about the live event on May 30th.
Yeah, May 30th, we're going to the National Concert Hall, bringing the Good Glow live. Live shows are so different because it was so weird. We did a show in the concert hall in November and I went out onto the stage and I was like, I could actually see like eyes. Because it was just all masks and eyes. And I was like, oh my God, like these are the people that listen to my podcast. Because we sold that show in February 2020 and we didn't do it till 2021 November. So like, I haven't really had the opportunity to meet my audience. So I get it, always get a tap in the supermarket and a thumbs up. Love your podcast, Georgie. Like those interactions, like, fill my heart with joy. But because of COVID, I haven't really had the opportunity to meet my audience. So big aim for us this year is to get out, you know, do some meetups, meet people. So yeah, we're in the concert hall on May 30th and we're going to have like talks. I want people to leave and feel like they can take on the world. So I'm planning the whole show around that. And the feeling that I want people to have walking down the road. And actually interesting, we just did the New York Half Marathon. Myself and Jamie were sitting sitting in the airport on the way home. And I said to Jamie, I would love to do this with like a team Good Glow next year. So we're putting that together as well. Hopefully that's what we've been working on all of this week, of maybe going to New York next year with a group of people who just want to give it a bash and do the half marathon together. So they're the two things we're working on, which is really exciting. But a huge part of my wellness is like connection. And I do find it really hard sometimes to put myself out there and like meet my friends or, you know, go for that coffee. I always feel better when I do. So I want to, you know, really step out of my comfort zone and put myself out there a little bit more with my audience. With the podcast audience this year and give back to them as well, you know, do meetups, do a sea swim, a hike, you know, what can we do together to just have fun?
Amazing. And I'm going to link in the show notes for people who want to pick up a ticket for the event on May 30th. And it'll be on the show notes on briankeenfitness.com and the description. Pick up your ticket. I know it's going to be an amazing event. And talk about the right podcast to bring a group to potentially to New York to do a half marathon. That's a chunk of
you
this.
You have to come.
Yeah, oh, but that sounds, keep me in the loop on that. That literally sounds like heaven to me. Connectivity, bit of fitness thrown in. I like, you're merging my favorite things together. So I will link, we'll talk about that as well. But Georgie, I've just got one final question. And as I mentioned, for everybody listening, everything we've spoken about in today's podcast will be in the show notes and the description. If you're not subscribed to the Good Glow, go and check it out. Check out the courses, check out the ticket for the event. But Georgie, final question. We're both quite active on social media. Instagram kind of being two main platforms, although I think probably the podcasts are closer to our hearts. I might not be putting, you're nodding your head at me here, so you're in agreement with me. But I am curious, if you had access, Georgie, as someone who's been through so much in the short time on this planet, when it comes to your personal experience, what you've been through with Jamie, you know, having Pia, having a complete brain transplant, as you mentioned yourself, to bring it full circle. If you could get control of an Instagram account that literally went out to everybody on the planet who was going through a tough time or struggling right now, and you could put a post out to those people, what would you say to them?
Oh, huge question, isn't it? There's so many things. I always say that the sun came back out of my life again. And like, it got so bad for me, Brian. Like, I would be like on the floor. I remember going to bed on Saturday nights in chemo. Saturday nights, I don't know why, were always a really tough one for me, because I always, you know, go to bed early anyway. So, but going to bed at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, you know, was just like soul destroying. And I remember I could never fall asleep. So I love going to sleep on the couch. That's one of my favorite things. I love when like Jamie's just sitting there and I fall asleep on the couch at the weekend watching a movie or something. And I remember I couldn't do that. So I couldn't let myself fall asleep on the couch, because that meant I'd have to wake up twice. Because when I woke up, you know, for that split second that everything was fine, and then I'd remember. So I used to wake up, if I fell asleep during the day or on the couch or something, I'd wake up and go, I have cancer. Like, it was literally like that. I was like, how do I have cancer? Like, how is this happening to me? So I used to go to bed so early just in case I fell asleep on the couch, because I couldn't do that twice in a day. So I just wanted to wake up once. And one night, I'll never forget, I could just see like Jamie's silhouette, like sitting on the end of the couch, and his head was in his hands. And I was just like bawling, crying. And I was just like, I can't do it. And he'd just say, I promise you won't feel like this forever. I promise you won't feel like this forever. And I'd watch this clock in my kitchen. When Jamie went to work, I'd watch this clock and it would go round and around and around. And one day I was looking at that clock and I said, time's moving forward. Like, I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. And every day the sun came up. I don't know, anytime I think about chemotherapy, all I think about is the sun shining. It was just a lovely summer and a lovely spring. So the sun came back out and onto my life when I never thought that it would. I never thought I'd laugh the same way again. I never thought I thought it'd taken my personality, taken all the crack out of me. Like I said, I loved going out and being the kind of last person standing. I was like, that's it for me. I'm done. So to get the laughs back, to get the sunshine back, to get the moments where I wake up now and I don't have that feeling is an absolute like joy. And I try to connect with that, you know, when I'm thinking about I'm not good enough, or, you know, what if this and what if that? No, come back to the present moment. Right now I am well, and that's all I ever wanted. So if I had that Instagram post, it's to speak to that person who's in that hole, who's in that really dark place, to say the sun always comes back out again, and never give up hope. Never give up hope, because the sun came back out in my life and it can for you too.
Wow. That's almost such a powerful way to finish, Georgie. I have nothing to say to that. I think I just need to let that sit with myself and for people listening. I can't thank you enough for sharing that, for your vulnerability, your experience. There's somebody listening to this right now who's in the midst of something, and that's what's going to get them through it. I know, and I cannot thank you enough for that. Georgie, Thank you for all you do. An absolute inspiration. I'm so grateful for this conversation. Is there anywhere else you'd like to send people that are listening? As I said, it's, I don't even know what to say off the back of that. You've spoken to my soul on that.
Oh, thank you. I know if any of like the list, if people who listen to my podcast are listening to listen to your podcast and vice versa, you know, and I think we both have a really good message, and I'm so grateful to you for holding this in amazing space for me today, and your questions were amazing, and I just really felt so lovely through the whole thing. So thank you so much. It was so nice to connect.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. Georgie, I can't thank you enough. Again, for everybody listening, I will link everything we talked about in the show notes, the description. Go follow Georgie. Go follow the podcast if you're not already. Go get your ticket for the event on May 30th. Georgie, thank you for all you do. And I'll chat to you again real soon.
Yeah, next time I'm in Galway, I'm giving you a ring and we're going to meet up and do something. Like go for a sea swim or something.
100%. I look forward to it. I think I have a completely new perspective off the back of that conversation. I, as I mentioned throughout the podcast, have been a huge fan of Georgie and her work from afar for quite a while. And one of the things I take huge inspiration in is people who have gone through, and there's some of you who are in the same position where you've either been sick or a loved one has got sick. And when I see people come out the other side, it just lights a fire underneath me like nothing else. So I'm so glad we got to have this conversation publicly on the podcast. And a massive thank you to Georgie for her vulnerability and her authenticity on this episode. I thought it was incredible. If you enjoyed it, be sure to let me know. Take a screenshot, pop it up on your Instagram stories. You can tag both of us, Brian_Keane_fitness and Georgie Crawford on her Instagram handle. That's everything from me for this week. Catch you all next Monday.